You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks. Welcome to the show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around the world. Thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Those of you who are listening for the very first time, a special welcome to you. I'm glad you're here. And I hope you'll go over to our website, kevinsmithshow.com, and sign up for our free weekly newsletter called The K-Files E-Zine, which, by the way, just went out. To those of you who get the HTML version, you have just received your K-Files e-zine. Now, some of you listening will probably say, well, I'm subscribed to that, but I didn't get it. Well, the reasons, there are several reasons. I started to say the reason, but there are several reasons. We get a few that bounce back to us each week. One is you haven't emptied your email box in so long it's full. Another one is that you have one of those things, that protects you from spam, where every time somebody sends you an email, they get a reply back automatically and there's a link they have to click, and you can forget it. We're not going to do it. We simply can't. We have too many subscribers. We can't do that. There's not enough time in the day. The K-Files e-zine just went out. A lot of good stuff in there. One of our listeners that you are familiar with, if you listen to the show on a regular basis, is Brent from Wyoming. And he's got an article in this issue, so you want to be sure and read that. And it is free, so when you go over to kevinsmithshow.com, just click on that link and subscribe, and it takes about 10 seconds to do it, and then you're in. All right? Well, let me ask you a couple of questions here. What do you think about the idea of computers being constructed using DNA? On the one hand, that sounds pretty cool and exotic. On the other hand, it may pose some real social problems and problems for the law that we'll all have to face. And then on the other hand, it may represent a huge leap forward technologically, especially in terms of transport systems, and we're going to be talking about that, the merging of DNA with computers. It does sound rather Star Trek-ish, doesn't it? Very futuristic. And I kind of wonder where it may lead us, and I kind of wonder a whole lot what you think about it. There's a big, big movement that is around. It is called transhumanism, all right? And the whole thing is based on the idea that we can merge technology with humans and create a whole different and better form of human. I don't know whether I buy that or not, but that is one of the arguments of transhumanism. And we've had guests on this show talking about it. But the question that I'm going to be posing tonight has to do primarily with the whole thing about computers and DNA, all right? Computers and DNA. Do you think that's really a good idea? Well, we will find out when we come back after this break. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. Okay, folks, this is what you've been waiting for, your vacation of a lifetime. It awaits your arrival down under in beautiful and historic Hobart, Tasmania. And to make sure your holiday really is a dream come true, you'll be staying at the Bath Street Apartments. Here are just a few of the things that you'll enjoy in your home for the holidays. Stunning water and mountain views from all windows and from your own private balcony or veranda. Modern furnishings, a full modern kitchen with all new appliances, oven and hot plates, fat-free grill, full-size refrigerator, large-capacity microwave oven, cappuccino machine, dishwasher, and enough crockery, cutlery, and utensils to satisfy anyone's culinary desires. The lounge room has an extensive range of electronic home entertainment equipment, including, now get this, a big-screen TV, free digital satellite, pay TV on Foxtel AllStar with over 60 channels, DVD, video, wireless broadband connection, free local telephone calls from the in-room telephone with your own private telephone number so loved ones and friends can call you directly. The bathroom? Wow, the bathroom has a large spa bath, separate shower cubicle, ceiling-mounted heat lamp and fan and hair dryer, and it just gets better and better. Folks, you've got to see Bath Street Apartments. So click the banner over on the Kevin Smith Show website or just go to bathstreetapartments.com.au. Your dreams are awaiting your arrival. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. I'll be there in the morning light. Tonight, we will do open line. That means that if you really wish to talk about something else, we will do so. All you have to do is call us and tell us what's on your mind. Or you may wish to discuss the topics that I throw out on the table. And we're going to get to this transhumanism thing, and this is a little bit of a different twist on it. we're going to get to that whole concept and to the information about the DNA being added to computers. We'll get to that in just a moment. First, I want us to talk about a little bit about this missile strike that against the satellite that the U.S. did on Thursday night. And or was it Wednesday night? Thursday night, I guess. Anyway, they shot down a spy satellite. It was a U.S. spy satellite. It was new. It was packed with all the, you know, latest and greatest stuff. About the size of a city bus, and it was falling out of orbit. And so a decision was made, because it still had a full tank of rocket fuel, hydrazine. They made a decision to fire a missile at it and try to destroy it before it re-entered the Earth's atmosphere. Now, there's been a lot of stories out there about this satellite. Lots and lots of stories all over the internet about it. I've seen everything from the plausible to, frankly, the laughable. And I've seen all kinds of conspiracy angles on this thing. And you have, too, heard a lot of them. And I'm not saying that there are no double entendre angles on this thing. Look. The fact is, it was a spy satellite, and that that much the U.S. government has told us. We don't know what kind of technology was on board, and the point is, I'm quite certain they didn't want anybody to know, and so that would be one reason to shoot it out of the sky. The hydrazine would also be a reason. You know, I've read a few articles where they were talking about that wasn't enough hydrazine to really create a lot of problems, and there was really no reason why they should be that concerned about it. Well, now, I just want to throw this into the mix so that you understand. Hydrazine is highly toxic and highly explosive. Now, if it landed in the middle of nowhere, if this thing fell out of orbit and the tank of hydrazine made it down to the surface, out in the middle of nowhere, there would be a heck of an explosion and toxic fumes, but there would be nobody around, you know, to be damaged by it. If it was, you know, out in the middle of the Sahara, for instance. What if it fell in an area where there was even sparse human population? And let's say that it was in an industrialized nation, and let's say that maybe there was a warehouse nearby that stored some type of flammable stuff. And then this hydrazine tank falls and explodes close enough for shrapnel to make it through into that warehouse and then blow that thing up. Now, you might say, well, that's, you know, that's a remote possibility. Yeah, but it is a possibility. In Bastrop, Louisiana, there is a plant that makes rocket fuel. It had a very minor malfunction a few years ago, back in the, would be the 90s, had a very minor malfunction, and pieces of that plant were later found a quarter of a mile away. People died. Property was damaged. It was really a heck of an explosion. Hydrazine is it's bad news. I mean, it's really great stuff when you use it for what it's intended to do, which is rocket propellant. But outside of that, it is really dangerous stuff. And so I don't see that there's anything really nefarious about this. Really, I don't. I've looked at this. And the reason I bring this up is because after I made those comments on the show last night, I got several emails from people sort of campaigning for their pet angle on this thing, the thing that they, you know, the way they are looking at it. And I really, really don't see anything nefarious about this. This was a danger. If it re-entered the atmosphere, it was a real danger, and it posed a real danger to both animal and human life should it fall in an area where either existed. And on top of that, it is, you know, it was a spy satellite with, like I said, the latest and greatest, whatever that may be. And I'm, you know, I understand that they don't want that to fall into anybody's hands except their own. I understand that. So I've re-looked at this thing today and reconsidered from a lot of different angles. One of the things was that this was a message. Well, the act itself sends messages, whether the message is intended to be sent or not. Well, people go away from it with a message. Okay, you understand that, don't you? You understand that just by doing it, you have an opinion on why it was done. And that opinion is basically the message it sent to you. Whether that message was intended by the government or not, that's the message you got from it. All right, so, you know, there are people who are saying, well, this was intended as a message to the Chinese or to the Russians. Or I don't think it was intended as that. I think it was intended exactly as has been stated. But were messages received by the Chinese and by the Russians? Well, undoubtedly it has to make, troubling impact upon them to realize that this is sort of a missile out of our hip pocket. This is not, the missile was not our latest, greatest, big bad boy. And look what it did. You know, so did they get messages from it? Well, I would say they probably did. Were those messages, was it done with that intent? I don't think so. I really think this was done exactly for the reasons that have been stated. It just seems plausible to me. You may have a different opinion on it. To me, I don't think this is all that, I don't think it's particularly an important story. It's not such a big earth-shaking story. I think it's pretty much just as they laid it out. But you may have a different view on that. And when we open the phone lines in a little bit, we will accept calls on this and any other topic, so long as it's not politics. And I'll be happy to talk with you about it. And, last night when we talked about this story, there were a couple of calls that came in that actually provided an angle and a little bit different information that I had not considered. So maybe that will happen again tonight. That's one of the things I enjoy about doing open line shows, is that we get the opportunity to share with each other and to have an impact upon how we are all thinking. And I think that's important. All right. In the world of technology, of course, we now live in a world that is dominated by computers. And we're going to get to this story in just a moment about computers being sort of wedded to DNA. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Michelle from Quebec.
Yes, Michelle.
Yeah, good evening, Kevin.
Good evening. Michelle, we cannot hear you at all now.
Oh, no?
No, okay. There you go.
Is that better?
That's better.
Okay. It must be a sunspot.
Okay. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just thinking of one other thing last night after we finished talking. Remember the last eclipse in Mexico? And they had all them video cameras out there and all the UFO pictures?
Yeah.
Well, now they had an excuse after they shot that down with the last eclipse at it. It was just a piece of, like, a satellite. Maybe they were trying to cover up something.
Well, maybe. Maybe. I have seen no evidence that would point that direction. There haven't been any UFO reports out of Mexico over this eclipse, as far as I know.
No, I haven't heard of any. I just remember the last eclipse we had, the big one there. They could see in Africa, you know, it was a great big one they could all see, and they got so many videos of UFOs, you know, just over the moon.
Yeah.
On the side of the moon. So I was just thinking maybe they're trying to kill two birds with one stone. When they had the eclipse, they know everybody was going to see it, and it was a clear night. It was beautiful. I seen about 20 colors from the start of it to the finish of it, the eclipse. So, I mean, it was lots of shades. It was a very nice eclipse here. It was very clear. Anyway, I was just thinking, you know, just remembering New Mexico and how much trouble they had because of all the pictures that came out of the UFO there the last time we had one, or the last couple. We've had so many in the last couple of years.
Well, yeah, it could be, I guess. But at this point, I haven't seen anything that would lead me that direction.
Well, I was trying to think of the paper. It's a big, big newspaper. I watched a video of it, the rocket going up.
Yeah.
And if you watch the rocket, they have a kill zone in about the middle of it, like there's three sections if you watch it. And then it goes blank, but just before it goes blank, there's something that shoots off to the left of that rocket. I've seen on that. I think it was the New York Times. Anyway, that didn't make that sense to me, because this thing shot off about, I don't know, 50, 100 feet to the left, and it was moving very fast, but it could have been a piece of the rocket, I suppose, that come off or something.
Yeah, you know, sometimes they use multi-stage rockets for those long flights like that.
I think this was about, maybe I would say, maybe a foot or a foot and a half down from the nose.
Hmm.
That a piece came off of. So it could have just been maybe some. So I don't know. I'm not a rocket scientist. I couldn't tell you what it was, but it just looked funny to me.
Yeah. I've seen videos of tests of some of our missiles where when they fire the missile, shortly after they launch it, pieces of the cowling come off and other things pop out, and it begins to become the weapon it's intended to be.
Anyway,
sort of transforms, you know.
Sorry to interrupt. Anyway, talking about computers, like you were going to talk in a few minutes there, did you hear about the old Alzheimer's disease?
No.
But they put a chip in your head, and they can retrieve your memories. So they're working on that.
And so, if they do that, then the person that has Alzheimer's disease is able then to remember what they could not remember before. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it works, and they're doing experiments on it, and they put a chip in your brain. And this is where your memories are held or anyway or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes like a connection, and it's supposed to give you some of your past memories.
Huh.
And it's awful convenient too. If you get the chip there already, what's a chip? Hardware. And all you got to do is download software, and that chip can do a lot more than just give you your memories.
Sure it could. Yeah, sure it could.
And I mean, what's his face there? Ray Kurzweil?
Mm-hmm. Dick Kurzweil?
Kurzweil, I think. Yeah, Kurzweil. I know it's a German name. He's working on intelligence computers, and he said by 2029, they'll be faster and smarter than us.
Yeah.
And I mean, you had that survey. Would you put a chip in you?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see why not. If it makes you smarter or healthier, I don't have a problem. They can put 20 chips in me if they want.
One of the reasons that I would be opposed to having a chip is because there is scientific evidence, actual scientific studies that show they cause tumors.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to be the first million. You know, I looked at there's about 10 million people that already went through tests. But, I mean, if they had that technology down where it was safe, I mean, religion ain't a factor in my case. I figure it'd be good. It's our next stage because, I mean, I read these articles of scientists that are working on this stuff.
And, mm-hmm.
You know, they're all looking. That's what the future is. We're going to just keep putting hardware and software in our bodies for health and for intelligence. And that's what the future is.
Yeah. I think it's a future I will pass on. I'm not getting chipped.
Did you see them kids in China, Kevin? They get a video camera on their hat. Their sneakers give them the energy to run their computers. They have microphones. They have the laptop. They have a pair of glasses. There were one thing flopped over where they can look at their monitor. I mean, these kids are got more equipment than I got. They're just walking down the street.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, our generation may be a little bit hesitant to this new technology, but I bet you the teenagers and the next generation won't bother them a bit.
Oh, I am fully confident that the next generation will embrace everything that will wipe out the human race.
As
the human race.
I still got hope for the human race because, I mean, you know...
If you change what we are, you're not human anymore. You're something else.
But, you know, we have to change. Because, you know it yourself, the way we're going, we're just heading down the hill anyway.
Well, yeah, well... But that you're talking about sociological and spiritual changes.
Political.
You know, and the thing about it is technology won't change your spirit. You know, if you're mean as hell, you'll just be mean as hell with a whole lot of new skill.
Well, that's true, too. But, I mean, it's pretty remarkable the things they're doing.
It is.
I mean, IBM, I know we got an IBM plant here just about a few miles away, and I know they've been talking about what you're going to talk about, the people that work there have been talking to me about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's nothing that's new. I mean, this has been going on for 10, 15 years.
Oh, it's been going on a lot longer than that.
Yeah.
They were working on it when I was in high school.
Yeah, but it's still like, it's just like, what was that they wanted to bring up for games where you could just see it right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
On like glasses, virtual reality.
That's coming, and there will be a time when it will no longer be necessary to have the glasses. That it'll be able to, if you have those chips, they'll be able to project it right into the lens of your eye.
Yeah, what a time we live in, eh?
Yeah.
Anyway,
thanks for the call. I'm going to have to move on, but I do appreciate the call. Very interesting ideas.
Okay, got it.
Thanks. Yeah, let's just go ahead and jump into that. What the deal is, you've heard me, if you've been listening to this show any length of time, you've heard me tell the story about when I was a kid. And I was in, I don't know if it was high school or junior high, I can't remember. But I was just a kid. And they brought us into the film room and showed us a science film, and it showed scientists, and I could be wrong, but I think it was Bell Laboratories that were working then on trying to find a way to marry human cells, organics, with computers. Now, when I was in high school, you know, we were still, you know, there was no such thing as computers. When I was in high school, no such thing as, well, there were computers, but not laptop computers and not home computers. You didn't have those. Caller, if you will, just stay on the line, and we'll get to you right after this break. Are you willing to hang on?
Of course I am.
All right, hang in there. We'll get to you in just a moment. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. And we are back. Let me go to the phone line and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, hello. It's Kevin from Iroquois Falls.
Yes, Kevin.
Yes, I'd like to let people know about an interesting video compilation on the YouTube. It has everything left from Nibiru to the Nephilim, conspiracy theories, UFOs, and whatnot. It's actually a 47-part video compilation that shows all of it. It's all they have to do is go on YouTube and search for a user name known as Nibiru Shock.
Nibiru Shock.
Yeah, it's search for our that and or search for Your World Is Changing, and look at all the videos from Nibiru Shock. Just load up that person's profile, and it's got all the 47 videos right there on the profile.
All right, I appreciate you sharing that with us. I'm going to take a look at it myself.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing about twice already. And, Kevin, I got a question for you.
All right.
When is the next time you're going to be opening up the chat room?
I do that on the... the chat room is open. You can use the chat room, at any time. So, I mean, sometimes there are people in there, sometimes not. I'm in the chat room on the first Saturday night of each month.
Okay. How do I access the chat room? Because I'm a member now. Thanks to my dad, I got membership. Well, where is it?
Okay. When you go to the members area, click on the menu selection that says chat room, or says chat.
Okay. So members area.
And then there's a menu across the top, and one of your selections says chat.
All right. Okay, Kevin, have yourself a great night. And anybody wants to look at those videos again, look for the type in Your World is Changing and all videos from Nibiru Shock. It's unbelievable.
All right. Thanks for the information.
All right. Have a good night, Kev.
All right. Computers being wed with DNA. IBM is working on it, as Michelle told us, and they're working on a brand new way to build processors by using DNA. I'm not sure that that's. I am sure that if they can actually do this, I am sure that that will make these computers like super, right? But I'm not sure that that is the right direction for us to go. And the reason I say that, you know, it's Jurassic Park all over again. Remember the line in Jurassic Park where the scientist said, we were all so excited, we were asking if we could, and no one stopped to ask if we should. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. This is Gary from New York.
Hi, Gary.
I have a comment and a question.
All right.
My comment is, I do agree with you about the shooting down of the spy satellite. I think it was Freud that said, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
And,
and I think that's exactly what this was. This was just a, you know, let's get it out of the sky, get it done and over with. We don't want anybody picking up the technology. We don't want anybody hurt. And I think that's just plain and simple what it was.
Yep. I think you're right.
And I mulled it around, and that's what I came up with. My question, Kevin, is are you going to post any of the photos that the Karina Sables had sent you?
You know, on the night when she was live with us, I think we had some of those up. I don't think I still have them. I can look for them.
Well, okay, that was my comment and my question.
All right, and
okay.
I appreciate the call.
Well, thanks very
now
much.
I got to ask you a question. What do you think about getting a chip put in you to make you a superhuman?
No, thank you. I don't want anything put in or taken out.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Okay, Kevin.
All right. The spokesman from IBM, oh, by the way, I need to tell you, since we are going open line, to make it a little bit easier for you to get in, what we're going to do is open up the other toll-free number for you. So you might want to write this down, all right? You know the regular toll-free number is 1-800-289-1092, right? Well, write this number down, because tonight, it's not every night, but tonight, because it's open line, you can also call in on 1-800-318-1008. All right? 1-800-318-1008. So if you try one and can't get through, try the other one. That'll double your possibilities, all right? Now, on this computer thing, the guy that is sort of, he's the senior manager for materials for advanced technology at IBM. His name is Joe Gordon, and he said that 50% of the improvement in processor performance comes from shrinking the pattern, and scientists need to come up with a new way to create the patterns And that's where the DNA strands come into play, because right now the industry is following sort of a, he calls it a roadmap, that will get them down to a 22 nanometer size feature on the chip. And he said, but we're looking at ways to go down beyond that. It is, and this is a quote, it is very clear it will be difficult to go smaller than that using optical lithography that we know today. Using DNA will help us do that, end quote. So that's the reason behind it. But here is something I thought about, okay? Now, a couple of things. When you start using DNA, you're using... What is DNA? DNA is the blueprint for life. All right, now when you start using that and you marry it with computer technology, there are people who already say that these supercomputers that we have today are life forms. I don't buy that argument, but there are people who say that. But once you begin to marry them with DNA, I think you probably get to a point where you can make a very good case that it is indeed a life form. And at that point, does it have rights? And since it is not just a dumb machine, it is a life form, it has the DNA, the blueprint for life, and we've given it the ability to think, it will, I think, be able to learn on its own. You could get to a point where you have HAL, the computer. Remember HAL in 2001 Space Odyssey? Remember that? Well, I think you could get there. I don't think that is very far down the road once you put DNA inside a computer. Once you make it an integral part of the computer, then I think you're not far away from having a life form that becomes a sentient being. Now, you might say, oh, that's a far stretch. That's just nonsense. That's blah, 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 blah. Yeah, okay. But would you concede that DNA is the blueprint for life? That's what geneticists tell us. If it's the blueprint for life and you give it the energizing skills of a supercomputer, are you not, in effect, creating a life form? All right, now, beyond that, I mean, I think that's kind of an ominous side of this thing. I think it's kind of an ominous side of this thing, because what if you create a life form that doesn't want you to turn it off? It doesn't want you to disconnect it, so it starts to seize the power grid and seizes control of the power grid. Yeah, I know, very science fiction-y. I understand that. But the possibilities, you have to admit, are there down the road. Maybe a long ways down the road, but down the road. Nevertheless, those are possibilities. If you unplug this computer, are you killing? If you unplug it, if you cut off its power supply, are you killing something? And if you are, is that legal? And what legal ramifications would there be? Would you have to get a court order to turn off the computer, just as you have to get a court order right now to disconnect someone's life support if they're on life support? I mean, those are things that you really have to think about. But that's kind of on the dark side of the technology. On the bright side of the technology, there is a possibility that this could revolutionize transport. I'll tell you how in just a minute. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. We're headed into a break. Are you willing to hang on until after the break?
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, there's a possibility that this could revolutionize certain types of transportation in ways that, you know, it could actually cause us to have the ability to do transportation in a way that we don't have right now. All right, we'll be back right after this break, and we will take this caller first thing when we come back from the break. Don't go away. Kevin Smith Show selects one of its very best shows each week and turns it into a free podcast? Well, it's true. You can download free Kevin Smith Show podcasts right now and get a free fresh podcast each week. Do you want to start building your own library of Kevin Smith Shows? All you have to do is visit our website at kevinsmithshow.com and click the free podcast link. They're yours for the download. We are back. Let's go straight to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Yes, Brent.
Well, thanks for the plug on my article, but the one you want to talk to is Gerald Epling. But what I was thinking is it's possible that this technology has already, that they have already created synthetic life, not humans. But if you'll remember, there are some reports that the grays, the small grays,
mm-hmm.
they kind of act almost like robots.
Yeah. You think we created those?
No, what I'm saying is that somebody else created them, so the technology has already been tried and tested.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, I think if, assuming that extraterrestrial intelligent life is a reality, and I think there is great evidence that it is reality, but assuming that is a reality, virtually every type of technology you could possibly imagine has already been
tried.
Yeah.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're playing catch up.
Yeah, that's just my take on it.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Yep.
I mentioned that I think this has some real possibilities for transport systems. And you may be asking yourself, Self, what in the world is he talking about? Well, here it is. You know, in the world of ufology, we have heard many, many times that extraterrestrial spaceships and their pilots sort of do a mind meld, and that the spaceship is a living entity as well as a vehicle, and that the pilots are able to pilot the spaceship, or if you will, the UFO, by communicating with it through their minds, through their thoughts. Well, you know, if you can marry DNA. Now, right now, they're using in their test, IBM is using DNA from a virus. But what if you used human DNA? And now the computer thinks like you. What if, in fact, you were to take the pilot's DNA and use that DNA to create the computer that's going to run the spaceship that the pilot is going to fly? Would it not be a huge step forward in getting us to the point where the pilot flies the thing by sort of thinking about it? I think it would. And I think that would be not only very cool, but it might be a much more efficient way to fly. Of course, if the pilot goes to sleep, that might not be too cool. So, you know, we'd have to make sure the pilot has plenty of coffee on board. Let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Dale from New York.
Hi, Dale.
How you doing?
Outstanding.
I had a thought. I think I know of a group that would really think it's a great idea for the human race to be microchipped. And I think that group might be called the Controllers. What do you think of that?
Well, and you're talking about the controllers that we talked about in last night's show?
Well, yes, in this instance, yes.
Mm-hmm. Microchipping people, while I think there may be, in some instances, medical reasons that it would be good, once it goes beyond that and they start saying, well, you know, look, you could learn any language you want to learn in 5 minutes. We'll just download it to you. And then people say, oh, well, that's cool. So they go get a microchip in their brain. The more microchips you get into people's brains, the easier they will be to control, because you can download anything into their brain.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I see it.
Yeah, I think freedom requires humans to be humans.
Have you heard of a computer system called a quantum computer?
Yes.
I've heard references to this.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard of that, too.
Yeah. And that's a pretty amazing thing, because they're saying they can store virtually all the information there is in the world. They can store it in a space about the size of a quarter.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I appreciate the call.
Thank you.
All right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Mark from Nashport, Ohio.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, Kevin. How you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, I thought I'd call in. I'm a software engineer, writing computer programs for the last 18 years. But I got to admit that DNA and all of that inside the chip is kind of pretty amazing, to say the least. I guess what they're talking about here are actually creating biochips.
Yes.
And the advantage would be that the chip could store more information.
Yeah, because of the size of the patterns of the circuitry. The size element means they could actually pack more circuitry into less space.
It may not be as strange as it sounds. You know, at first, those kinds of things sometimes kind of, you know, make us think, wow, this is somehow violating the line between machine and living creatures. But really, it may be kind of transparent if you've got a biochip in your computer that you may not even be aware of it. It just may be performing much better. So, anyway.
Yeah, but you know, it won't stay there.
Well, that's true.
That technology won't stay there. And I'll give you an example. For the past several years, I've reported each year on experiments that were done where they genetically infused mouse embryos with human DNA, specifically for the purpose of watching brain development. And they were restricted on how much of the brain could be human. Okay, and then they were doing some kind of medical research on this. Okay, and I kept saying, sooner or later, they are going to get away from that, and it's going to crawl out of the lab, and it's going to crawl out of medical research, and somebody's just going to say, I wonder what it would be like to have a mouse with a human brain.
Well,
and so now, this year, it has been approved in Great Britain for them to do that, where a mouse will have a 100% human brain.
You got to be kidding.
No.
That's incredible.
So it's the thing is that there is this creep forward in directions that are, in my opinion, ominous. And take the stem cell research. Now, I have opposed the idea of certain types of stem cell research, okay?
Sure.
And I've opposed the type where you create human embryos, kill them, and harvest the stem cells from them.
Right.
I'm not a religious person, but I don't think you have to be in order to understand that is life. That is a human life. It may not be fully developed yet, but it is a human life, and I just think it's wrong, and I don't think we should do it. There are people that listen to this show, perhaps you, that disagree with that and think I'm wrong. That's okay, all right?
Well,
but here's the deal. Stem cell research... There have been a lot of people clamoring for stem cell research, and they've absolutely scorched politicians who hold the position that I hold. They've absolutely scorched them, and they've said that, you know, we're causing people to die and all that, people who believe what I believe on this. We're causing people to die. All right. Now, science because they could not, in many cases, get the funding that they wanted to do their stem cell research using embryos. You know what they've discovered? They can take fully developed adult cells, inject them with a protein, and they will produce brand new stem cells.
That's wild.
It is. Hey, I appreciate the call.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. We'll be back right after this break, folks.
What the little girl's got is magic. Somebody find my phone. You see, I don't remember nothing. I just found myself alone. Somebody needs to help me. Cause now I ducked out on a limb. Yeah, with nothing to protect me. Remember what happened, but baby, I see you found the door. Well, baby, nobody's perfect. I know I could have done more. My baby, and I'm lonely, alone. And I've been calling her all day, but she won't pick up the phone. And now you're telling me that I need to give you more than what you said just a lot before. I don't remember.
Call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
Welcome back. We're talking about some really strange science. I can see some positives. I can see some negatives. Let me say that I think the scientists who are thinking about this, the guys that are conceptualizing it, are really forward thinkers. I mean, this is really stepping out there. From my point of view, I think this is really, really stepping out there and going for something that most people, I think, would say is just impossible. But it's not impossible, and I'm absolutely certain that they will complete this successfully, and they'll be able to develop these biochips. Now, the questions that it raises are many. Is this a new life form? If so, is it protected under the law? You know, there are many laws that protect life forms. You might think, you know, you have an insect infestation at your house, and so you call the exterminators, and they're just going to come out and spray a few things around or dust the yard with some powder, and the insects will go away, and you think that's it. Well, that may not be it, because this insect infestation that you have may, in fact, be a protected species, you know. And if it is a protected species, you're going to have to live with the insects, because the law says you can't, if they're protected, you can't get rid of them. This has been a real, real problem for ranchers in certain parts of the United States and Canada with wolves. Now, wolves were hunted and trapped pretty much out close to being extinct. And they became a protected species. As a protected species, they have proliferated, and now they have become a real threat to the livestock and to human life as well. And yet, if a farmer or a rancher were to kill a wolf, he would be in huge, huge trouble. Even though that wolf may be killing his livestock, if he were to kill the wolf, he would be in huge trouble. Now, they're coming off of the protected species list. I mean, it's been very successful, and they're coming off of the protected species list. You get the point, though, don't you? Out here in Phoenix, Arizona, I'm not talking about out in the farmland. I'm talking about right in Phoenix, Arizona. We have problems with coyotes. You know what that is? I think you do. It's sort of a wild dog. And you know what's happened? We've had several incidents within the past few weeks where people are out walking. In one case, a couple of ladies out walking a dog, and they were, they were, I don't want to say attacked, but they weren't bitten, but certainly threatened by coyotes. And, you know, they were able to get out and away without being bitten. But that's right here in a populated area. Wolves are even more vicious, and they are bigger, and yet ranchers were not able to kill them, not legally. Well, what's going to happen once you create these computers? You know, there are people who already argue for the fact that supercomputers that have what we have called artificial intelligence, and they're able to learn and able to program themselves, they say that's a life form. Well, what happens once it is biological, once it's based biologically? I think there will be a very, very good argument that it is indeed a life form. And at that point, is it going to be a protected species? And if it is, what rights do you have as a human? You know, the biochipping thing is, you know, it's got some ominous side to it, some dark side to it. But on the other hand, as I said, I think there are also some real upsides. And one of them has to do with aviation. One of them has to do, maybe not even aviation. Imagine getting into your automobile that has been biochipped based on your DNA. And instead of a steering wheel, you just place your hands, place the palms of your hands on a couple of panels, and you start to think. And as you think, the car does its thing, and it begins to drive. Okay? it begins to go down the road. You want to turn left, you think left. You want to turn right, you think right. That would be pretty cool. Having seen, however, the level of some people's ability to think, I don't know, that might be dangerous. Flying would be, you know, if you could create these craft, aircraft, either airplanes or, who knows, by then maybe we will be able to fly in something that looks like UFOs. And if you can mind meld with the machine, imagine the flight capabilities it could have. Imagine that, because, you know, right now, to get into an airplane and fly it requires a lot of training. You have to understand the function of altitude in terms of navigation. Now, you may not know this, but the barometric pressure has a real effect upon navigation. Your altitude has effect upon navigation. You have to know when and where to apply the flaps. But if all that's programmed into your computer, and you know, all you have to do is think about landing, and the computer does everything that the airplane has to do to land, you're just giving it the instructions to land. I mean, you know, it's a living being at that point, isn't it? Seems to me it would be. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Michelle, Kevin.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what you're talking about before. Just one thing we didn't talk about, nanobites.
Okay.
And you know, they're entered into the body to heal you. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's why I think chipping people there, you know, if they can keep it away from the forehead and in the hand, I think it's going to be acceptable. Because, I mean, if it cures cancer or can cure some other thing, I think the price is too dear not to get chipped.
I'm curious about something. We're getting feedback, and I'm not touching any of my controls. Do you have a volume control on your telephone? Is that what that is?
No, it's not from my side.
Very interesting.
Yes, my phone is very interesting.
Okay.
I get calls where the phone rings and the person's already into the conversation, like I'm there already.
You have a paranormal telephone, Michelle.
Well, that's why you phone Kevin Smith Show. But I really want to thank you for the last two nights. It's been a while since we had open lines and listened to your callers. You know, people that are thinking great thoughts, and we're all thinking, eh?
Yeah, I love open line nights, and, you know, it always amazes me. Our callers always present some angle that I have not considered, and I think that's a plus.
It's like that you were talking about before about the mouth. But wasn't there something done with cells, too, where they took a cell from a heart and it grew a whole heart?
That's correct, and created a beating heart.
You know, on one side, you know, you wonder, is this Frankenstein stuff? Or are we really advancing this fast? Because I remember when I went to school like you, we're about the same age. I was born in 53.
Yeah.
And I mean, just a vaccine or a shot was something out of the, you know, I felt like a spaceman. I was getting an articulation there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's, well, on the one hand, Michelle, yes, it is Frankensteinish. On the other hand, not everything about Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein, was evil.
No. But,
and so, you know, there's some good sides to some of this stuff.
You know, there's always a story, I always think of when we talk about technology in the future. It's like the guy that asked you the question. There's 10 people on the track here, and there's a woman with a carriage on the track over here. The train's coming, you can't stop it. Do you change the track so it don't hit the 10 people and it hits the one person? or do you leave it and take the 10 people out? You know, who can answer the question?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Is it going to be
of course. Pardon me. My view on that is, if you're dumb enough to stand on the track, you take what's coming.
Well, you know, it's just a piece of philosophy.
Yeah.
You know, it's a kind of a question. It's who's going to run the program? You know, is it going to be a corrupt government that, you know, programs us? They say one thing and they do something else? Or
if it's in the hands of the government, anywhere on this planet, there will be corruption.
And there's one more factor. If we do make contact with an alien species, it would be a lot better for us to be a little bit smarter, even if we need some software and hardware, than to sit there and be like you call them knuckle draggers.
Well, I don't know about that. I'll tell you why. Yes, having higher intelligence would be better for us. If that higher intelligence is artificially induced by hardware, then it's very, very easy to take over that hardware. Now, I'll give you a good example. Right there in Canada, they have just done a bunch of police raids where they arrested a bunch of people aged 17 to 26 who have hacked into and taken over control of over 100,000 computers around the world. How did they do that? Well, they uploaded a special little bot that gave them control of those computers. You want that happening to the human race? No, I don't think we do. Would it be possible? Absolutely.
Well, I mean, you know, tonight we're talking technical side and the medical side of it. I mean, I've been reading articles where they want us to live now to be 150 in the next 25, 30 years.
Yeah, I'm for it.
I'll be for that.
Yeah, I'm for it.
But, I mean, there you go. If you live that much longer, you have more time to learn. But I'm just saying, in a, we'll say, 70-year span, you can only learn so much.
Well, yeah, we're limited by time, but most of us, you know, the limitations that time puts on us are minuscule compared to the limitations that we put on ourselves. Consider the amount of time people spend doing absolutely stupid things instead of learning. And we do that to ourselves. We are knuckle draggers because we've chosen to be.
Well.
And, you know, I think that the microchipping thing, putting a chip in the brain so that we can download all this information, is a shortcut to information we're too lazy to go learn on our own.
Well, that's I agree with you 100%. But, you know, people are forced today for, you know, a young couple are both forced to work from 7 to 9 or whatever their time is. Then they get a little bit of time with their children, and it's back to bed, and then the week's finished, and they're so busy on the weekend, they're too tired to read a book or look into things.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard time to live for some people.
It's a hard time to live because I agree with you, but I think the reason is because so many people have bought into the idea that you have to live with the trappings of affluence.
Well,
and so people don't own their homes. They pay a mortgage, which means they're renting. And if they rent long enough, they get to say they own it. They buy a home that costs a couple of $100,000, and they end up paying close to $1 million for it. That doesn't make sense to me. And, you know, they've got to have the latest, greatest new car and latest, greatest new fashions, and they can't afford it. All those things are expensive, and so they use credit. And because of our addiction to the trappings of affluence, people are living beyond their means, using credit to do it, which they may not be able to do much anymore. It may be a real shock to their system. But then they have, because of that, they have to go out and work long hours, two or three jobs, to keep up the payments and to keep up the appearance of affluence. But it's destroyed their lives. And, you know, that can all be cured. It's called live within your means. Who cares about keeping up with the Joneses? I don't even know the Joneses, you know. And then you have more time to read. You have more time to research. I need to move along, though, Michelle, and I appreciate the call.
Okay, get it.
All right. Yeah, now you may totally disagree with that, but I think that's the case. I think that this addiction to the appearance of affluence has caused us to miss out on the ability to become affluent. People who learn to live within their means and who don't care about keeping up with the Joneses have more time to become. There's two ways to do life, you know. There's doing and there's being. And it's a delicate balance. Wonder what would happen if you're doing a mind meld with your flying machine or with your automobile, and your mind begins to wander, as our minds are wont to do, and you begin, instead of concentrating on flying the machine or driving the car, you begin to worry about those bill collectors that called you last night. I wonder if you become a real danger to everyone else out on the highway or up in the sky. I don't know, but I do know that changes are coming, and I am not, and I want you to understand this, I am not a stick in the mud saying that all these scientific things that are happening are evil simply because they're different. I think some of them are evil simply because of the real potential they have to take away your independence and freedom. Some of that technology is already out there. Some of you are already using it, and it is marketed as, you know, people watching over you, so wherever you are, they can help you. But it also means wherever you are, they know where you are. They know who you are. You may say, well, so what? Well, how about this? They know who you are, they know where you are, and now Google is going to be storing your medical records online, so they know who you are, where you are, and your medical history. Do you think that gives someone a lot of control over you? And every time you check a book out of the library, that's recorded. Now they know what you read. Every time you go online, it's recorded what you do, where you go online. So they know what you like to read online and what you like to view, listen to, and watch. Do you think someone might be able to have some control over you with that? And then they put a chip in your head. A chip where they could download information. You know, they could actually put memories in your head that you never, memories of things that never happened. I don't know. I think we're headed into a world beyond a brave new world. I think we're headed into a world beyond 1984, George Orwell's classic. And I'm not sure that it's really a good place for us to go. But I also know that you can't stop it, okay? You can't stop what's coming. I'll tell you what you can do. You got two choices here, and you've heard me say this. You take a look at the future, and you take a look at the technology and what where we're really headed. I mean, this stuff that we're talking about tonight is not 20 years down the road. It's been in development for over 20 years now. It's just around the corner from being out there, deployed, used. So you've got two choices as you look at the future. You can see it coming like a big tsunami, and you can go out and stand on the beach and shake your fist at it and say, by God, I'm not going to change. You're not going to change me. And shake your fist at this tsunami, and it will wipe you out. Or you can go get your surfboard now and ride the wave. Now, what I mean by that is be informed. Be informed about the changes that are coming. Be informed about the changes that are coming tomorrow, the ones that are coming next week, and the ones that are coming next year. Be informed. Don't be afraid of them, but be informed so that you can plan your course of action through life and surf the wave as it comes in. Do you remember there was a book back, it was published in 1970, I believe the first time, first publishing, and it was called Future Shock by Alvin Toffler. Remember that? Did you, when you read that book, if you didn't read it, I've got to tell you, you missed some real classic future thinking, some great stuff. It's a great book, and even now you should read it. As you read it now, and you'll see that he talks about things that were coming in the future, and you'll look at that and say, well, that's not future. We already have that. But realize that this was written in 1970, and yes, we do have those things now. We do have those sociological conditions now. Understand that it was predicted. But one of the things that he said in Future Shock, and the real premise was this. The future is happening so fast that we humans cannot process it and assimilate the information. It's crashing upon us. It's happening so fast. So what I'm saying is that it's even more so now than it was in 1970. And I'm saying, why let it crash upon you? Why let it destroy you? Why not see what's coming and ride the wave? Now you might say, well, I don't like where that wave is taking me. Okay. I understand that. I may not like where the wave takes me, but I like it better than being destroyed by the wave. That's a choice you have to make. Everybody's got to make it. The fact is, change, big change, massive change is happening. And it's happening every day, all across the world, all around the world, in laboratories, in research centers. Change is happening every day. Big, big change. I told you, I think it was this week I told you, about the fact that there were some scientists, geneticists, working on some genetic theory, therapy, gene therapy, to try and treat diabetes. And what they were doing is introducing a certain protein into a virus, introducing the virus into a living organism, mice, that had diabetes. And some of the mice showed marked improvement. Others, the virus wiped them out. And so the researchers said, well, what happens if you just inject the protein straight into the mice? They tried it. Guess what happened? This particular protein, when they injected it into the mice began producing insulin again on their own and got rid of the diabetic condition that they had. They weren't better. They were healed. And this happened. They did it with six groups of mice, and it happened with all the mice in all six groups. Okay, now that's one of those futuristic things that's really good, isn't it? I mean, imagine if it works in humans the way it works in mice. Imagine people everywhere who have diabetes can now be healed of diabetes. Don't you think that's good? I think it's good. Not everything in the future is bleak and dark. There's a lot of good stuff out there, too. What do you think about this chipping thing? What do you think about biochips with DNA in them? We'll be back. The telephone number is 1-800-289-1092. And we're going to continue discussing this just for a moment, and then we're going to change to another topic. Get it all. Become a member at KevinSmithShow.com.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
Welcome back. We also have the other 800 line open. It is 1-800-318-1008. 1-800-318-1008, or our usual line is open, 1-800-289-1092. Also, for those of you who live outside of North America, if you wish to participate in the discussion, you can do so by sending me a flash message. It's just an email, and you send it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. From Australia comes a flash message from Alan. He says, have you read the book The Day After Roswell? Philip Corso, who was Trudeau, that would be General Trudeau's right-hand man, calls the Greys extraterrestrial biological entities. He says they don't appear to eat food and were able to control their craft by thought, much as what you've been saying. Is this guy for real in what he says? You know, Colonel Corso is hailed by some who have very high, credible credentials as being right on the money in what he said. Others say that he was not. I do not know. My feeling, and I have to admit, I don't go with feelings too often, but my feeling about this is that essentially Philip Corso was correct in the things that he said. I don't know that to be the case, but I think it's probably the case. And maybe somebody who knew Philip Corso will call in and share with us a little bit about what they think about it. But I think Colonel Philip Corso was probably pretty much on target. The defense minister in Canada, former defense minister in Canada, Paul Hellyer, says that Corso was right on target. And they apparently have some CIA memos and correspondence with CIA and FBI that indicate some corroboration with things that Corso said. And when I say they, I mean the Canadian Defense Ministry. And some of those have come out, they've through Freedom of Information, and they are public. And so what do I think about Philip Corso? I think he's probably pretty much correct. Again, I could be dead wrong, but I think he's pretty much correct. And I think it's possible to control machines with our thoughts if those machines have some connection to us. And the way to do that, I think, is DNA. I think that's probably how it is done. The mind is a very, very peculiar thing. It apparently exists apart from the brain, but uses the brain as an interface to run the body. Now, we could get into long, deep discussions about that, because once you say that there is a mind separate from the brain, I mean, that's a big, big argument in the field of psychology and psychiatry. See, once you say there is mind separate from, independent from the brain, then you're at that point saying pretty much that you think there is spirit and that it exists beyond physical life. You see that, don't you? You understand that. You understand that mind and brain are two separate things. I think that there is mind above, beyond, and separate from the brain, and that it does use the brain as an interface for running the body. And I think it does survive physical death. Some people say, well, you're talking about consciousness. Okay. I don't care if you call it frippalops. I mean, it doesn't matter. Frippalops, mind, consciousness, flammaflidgy, I don't care what you call it. But whatever you call it, I think it exists beyond and above the brain. I think it controls brain activity and uses the brain as an interface. I think the brain is kind of the hard drive. Anyway, back in 1963, in a place called Hazleton, Pennsylvania, there were a couple of coal miners that got trapped in a cave-in. A mine shaft caved in, and they were down there for 14 days, hundreds of feet below the surface. One of them was David Fellin, F-E-L-L-I-N. He was 58 years of age. And then there was Henry Throne, 28 years of age. So they're 30 years apart, but both of them coal miners working in the same mine. They're trapped in the cave-in. And so they're down there, these two guys, down there for 14 days. And then they were rescued. And when they were rescued, they began to talk in some interviews with television reporters and newspaper reporters. And both of them claimed that they experienced some really amazing visions on the fourth or fifth day. They said they were in total darkness, and yet they both saw the same thing. Now, here's what they said they saw. They said they saw a door, and it appeared enveloped in a bright blue light. And they said that at the door, there were marble stairs, and there were people walking up and down on the steps. They said that beyond that door was a garden that stretched as far as the eye could see, and that it was just covered with beautiful, bright flowers and green grass. And then they said that, both of them said that they saw Pope John the 23rd looking down on them, even though he had died 10 weeks earlier. And both of the miners said that they shared an out-of-body experience. Well, what happened was that, you know, once they reported this, then all of the experts chimed in, and they started saying things like, well, they experienced hallucinations because of their fear and because of the sulfur water that they were forced to drink. And so the guys just quit talking about it. All together. Both of them, just they didn't want to be ridiculed, so they just quit talking about what happened. Well, in 1990, David Fellin was 85 years of age, and he died. And a couple of weeks after he died, there was an article published by Ed Conrad in the Hazleton Standard Speaker newspaper. And it had some pretty interesting information in it. In that article, he said that Fellin had conducted an interview with Dr. Kubler-Ross, who was the author of a whole bunch of books about death. And he stated that after their rescue, Fellin and Throne were interviewed individually and together by several psychiatrists from the University of Pennsylvania and by a medical doctor and psychiatrist from the U.S. Navy, and that guy's name was Dr. Richard Anderson. Wouldn't you like to know what the psychiatrists found out? Well, what they found out was, and their report was, that neither man exhibited evidence of psychosis. And even though they had both independently corroborated each other's story, these psychiatrists still discounted them as delusions. They said they are not suffering from psychosis. And they said each man independently corroborated each other's story. Nevertheless, they are delusions. So that would mean that you would have both men hallucinating down in that mine shaft and hallucinating exactly the same thing at exactly the same time. I think anybody that believes that is hallucinating. According to Dr. Anderson, the U.S. Navy medical doctor and psychiatrist, and by the way, I don't know why they say that that way in the article, because a psychiatrist is first a medical doctor. He had some things to say about it as well, and when we come back from this break, I'll tell you what he said about it.
Get it all. Become a member at KevinSmithShow.com.
Call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
Welcome back. We are on Final Approach. Now, you may be asking yourself, what does all of that stuff about these miners have to do with this stuff about the chips? Well, hang on. I'm going to show you. Because when we went away for break, I told you about this psychiatrist, Dr. Anderson of the U.S. Navy, who interviewed both Felon and Thorne. And he was convinced that their story was true because the details that he collected from them individually matched so perfectly. If these guys had been hallucinating, there might have been some commonality in the hallucinations, but each one would have had his own hallucination, and it would not have matched the other's hallucination. So their details matched perfectly. So Dr. Anderson of the U.S. Navy concluded that they were telling the truth, that they had actually seen what they said they saw. Now, what does all this have to do with the biochips for computers and the possibility of that leading to a technology of mind melding a pilot to an aircraft, or mind melding a driver and a car? What does it have to do with the possibilities for chipping anyway? Well, here it is. Our minds already seem to be capable of seeing other dimensions. I know some of you physicists are going to write, or maybe not, but some of you probably will, and tell me that's not truly a dimension. Okay, well, come up with a term for it then. A parallel universe? Whatever you want to call it. Our minds seem to be already capable of seeing into another world that really appears to exist. There seems to be mounting scientific evidence that that's the case. If you can mind meld with a spaceship, a flying disc, a UFO, if you can mind meld with it, and your mind then begins to think, I think I'll go see what Saturn is like. I think, let me be on Saturn. Would that instantly transport you to that place? Is that how they do it? You follow what I'm saying? I know it's very esoteric. I know it's very much out there, but hey, it's the Kevin Smith Show, and we can do that, especially in open lines. Imagine you're buzzing along, flying along, and you know, you've got your palms on the control panels, and you're thinking about flying your machine and where you want to go and all of that. And for some reason, you suddenly think, let me check Mars out. I wonder what's happening on Mars today. Bam, you're there. Maybe, I don't know. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from Iroquois Falls again. I wanted to ask, having those microchips put into your brain, imagine what that would do for people, you know, to help with remote viewing.
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea what the possibilities are. But it, you know, I'll tell you what. There is a sort of microchipping technology being used for people with advanced Parkinson's disease.
Yeah, but the thing is about remote viewing, like, do you really want your next-door neighbor having this extra ability for remote viewing? And, you know, part wondering, like, maybe he's looking into your house for looking into some of your private stuff, you know what I mean? Or do you want, you know, like, people you don't want looking into what you're doing and get, you have these microchips that will help people really amplify the remote viewing, and next thing you know, you got you have no privacy whatsoever anymore.
Yeah, that's an aspect I hadn't thought of.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's an important aspect. It could amplify a remote viewer's ability.
And also a telepathic ability. They might know what you're thinking. You may not have any secrets anymore.
Yeah, of course, you know, there is that thing about, you hear it all the time. In fact, I mean, I'm a former cop, right? And I have heard cops say this over and over and over. Well, if you don't have anything to hide, why do you mind if I look in your car? Well, I'm not hiding anything in my bed, but they're not going to sleep with me either.
Yeah, because, you know, like even myself, I got lifestyles, you know, like got secrets I don't want everybody to know about, you know what I mean? Like if you these chips get put into people's brains and it amplifies their psychic telepathic abilities, it's like, uh-oh, okay.
Yep, everything is known to everyone all the time then, yeah.
Yeah, next thing you know, they'll be posting all these stuff on Facebook and say, hey, this guy's into this kind of stuff I know, and...
All right, thanks for the call.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Real privacy issues there. Is privacy even important anymore? You see, the issues that come up as a result of technology. Is privacy important? Because there is technology that makes privacy impossible. It already exists, and it's becoming more and more advanced. Is personal privacy a part of personal freedom? If it is, then are we going to continue to go down the technological path we're going? Now, I think we will, because I think a lot of people just don't think. They just don't think about the consequences of what they're doing. And they don't ask the big questions. Is privacy an integral component of freedom? If it is, then the technologies that make privacy impossible have got to be curtailed. Are we going to curtail that technology? I don't think so. At that point, then you have to ask yourself, how important is privacy to me? How important is freedom to me? And what, in the face of these technological advances, am I going to do to maintain my privacy and freedom as much as possible? You see, the implications of the age in which we live are vast. The ramifications of the technology that we are developing are vast. And you have to think about these things. You have to consider them. And you have to consider, what am I going to do as this tsunami is approaching the beach? I contend that the best thing to do is get your surfboard and ride as far as you can and guide that surfboard around the obstacles that are coming up as best you can, and get as much out of it as you can. Some people think the best thing to do is stand on the beach and shake their fist at the approaching wall of water. If that's what you think, do it. You will be wiped out. You will not survive it. But if you get your surfboard and navigate the obstacles that are coming, you may survive it. And I think that's an important thing to do. I think it's an important thing to be informed, to be intelligent, and to surf the wave. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.